Well, dear Mrs. Banks, I must not take up more of your time. Oh, do stay and have some tea. I think it's nearly ready. Oh, that is very kind of you. Mr. Guthrie sat down again promptly. I'll just go and see. In the kitchen, Miss Gilchrist was just lifting a last batch of scones from the oven. The tea tray stood ready, and the kettle was just gently rattling its lid. There's a Mr. Guthrie here. I've asked him to stay for tea. Mr. Guthrie? Oh, yes. He was a great friend of dear Mrs. Lanskenay's. He's the celebrated art critic. How fortunate. I've made a nice lot of scones, and that's some homemade strawberry jam, and I just whipped up some little drop cakes. I'll just make the tea. I've warmed the pot. Oh, please, Mrs. Banks, don't carry that heavy tray. I can manage everything. However, Susan took in the tray, and Miss Gilchrist followed with teapot and kettle, greeted Mr. Guthrie, and they set to. "Hot scones, that is a treat," said Mr. Guthrie. "And what delicious jam! Really, the stuff one buys nowadays!" Miss Gilchrist was flushed and delighted. The little cakes were excellent, and so were the scones, and everyone did justice to them. The ghost of the willow tree hung over the party. Here, it was clear, Miss Gilchrist was in her element. "Well, thank you, perhaps I will," said Mr. Guthrie, as he accepted the last cake pressed upon him by Miss Gilchrist. "I do feel rather guilty, though, enjoying my tea here, where poor Cora was so brutally murdered." Miss Gilchrist displayed an unexpected Victorian reaction to this. "Oh, but Mrs. Lanskenay would have wished you to take a good tea. You've got to keep your strength up." "Yes, yes, perhaps you are right. The fact is, you know, that one cannot really bring oneself to believe that someone you knew, actually knew, can have been murdered." "I agree," said Susan. "It seems fantastic." "And certainly not by some casual tramp who broke in and attacked her. I can imagine, you know, reasons why Cora might have been murdered." Susan said quickly, "Can you? What reasons?" "Well, she wasn't discreet," said Mr. Guthrie. "Cora was never discreet. And she enjoyed, how shall I put it, showing how sharp she could be, like a child who's got hold of somebody's secret. If Cora got hold of a secret, she'd want to talk about it. Even if she promised not to, she'd still do it. She wouldn't be able to help herself." Susan did not speak. Miss Gilchrist did not either. She looked worried. Mr. Guthrie went on. "Yes, a little dose of arsenic in a cup of tea? That would not have surprised me. Or a box of chocolates by post, but sordid robbery and assault. That seems highly incongruous. I may be wrong, but I should have thought that she had very little to take that would be worth a burglar's while. She didn't keep much money in the house, did she?" Miss Gilchrist said, "Very little." Mr. Guthrie sighed and rose to his feet. "Ah, well, there's a lot of lawlessness about since the war. Times have changed." Thanking them for the tea, he took a polite farewell of the two women. Miss Gilchrist saw him out and helped him on with his overcoat. From the window of the sitting-room, Susan watched him trot briskly down the front path to the gate. Miss Gilchrist came back into the room with a small parcel in her hand. "The postman must have been while we were at the inquest. He pushed it through the letter-box, and it had fallen in the corner behind the door. Now, I wonder—oh, why, of course, it must be wedding cake!" Happily, Miss Gilchrist ripped off the paper. Inside was a small white box tied with silver ribbon. "It is!" She pulled off the ribbon. Inside was a modest wedge of rich cake with almond paste and white icing. "How nice! Now, who?" She consulted the card attached. "John and Mary. Now, who can that be? How silly to put no surname!" Susan, rousing herself from contemplation, said vaguely, "It's quite difficult sometimes with people just using Christian names. I got a postcard the other day signed Joan. I counted up, I knew 8 Joans. And with telephoning so much, one often doesn't know their handwriting." Miss Gilchrist was happily going over the possible Johns and Marys of her acquaintance. "It might be Dorothy's daughter. Her name was Mary, but I hadn't heard of an engagement, still less of a marriage. Then there's little John Banfield. I suppose he's grown up and old enough to be married. Or the Enfield girl. No, her name was Margaret. No address or anything. Oh, well, I dare say it will come to me." She picked up the tray and went into the kitchen. Susan roused herself and said, "Well, I suppose I'd better go and put the car somewhere."